Today's teaching. He said a couple of atas. Okay, good. Good. You have to think about it. We have to try to live the Torah that we learn. You know? Okay, Parshas Kisavo, this week's Parsha. Okay, the Pasuk says at the beginning of the Parsha, describing how a Jew has an obligation to declare that he's paid up. Right, there's different gifts that we bring over the course of the year. Things that we bring to Beis HaMikdash, things that we give to the Kohen, to the Levi, Maaser Ani, Maaser Sheni. There's all sorts of obligations that we have to share from our produce. And there's a declaration that a person has to make twice in the Shemitah cycle, saying, I'm paid up. At the end of each three-year cycle, mini-cycle, I have to say, I've paid up all my debts. It's called Vidui Maaser. I confess to the fact, I declare that I've paid my debts. And we say, in fulfillment, I did everything that you asked of me, Hashem. I followed all the rules. And therefore, here's what we ask of you, Hashem. Okay? And here's the pasuk that he quotes on page Kovav. Hashkifa mima'on kadshecha min ha-shamayim. Hashem, hashkifa means look down, peer down. For now, it's yours. Hashkifa, look down, mima'on kadshecha, from your seat in Shamayim, uvarech es amcha es Yisrael. And bring bracha to Klal Yisrael, okay? Ve'is ha'adam asher nasata lanu kasher nishbata lavoseinu, and bring bracha upon the land, and bring us to the land that you promised. Eretz zavas chalav d'vash. Allow us to maintain our connection to Eretz Yisrael. This is Klal Yisrael to Hashem, right? But it's right. It's Moshe to Hashem, but it's Klal Yisrael to Hashem, right? Meaning, v'haya kisavah la'aretz, very beginning of the parasha. You come to Eretz Yisrael, and you bring your bikurim, right? And part of bikurim, you recount all of Jewish history. And then, at the end of the mini three-year cycle of paying up all of your trumos and maestros, your responsibilities, so you declare, I did everything that I was supposed to do. And as the end of that declaration, a Jew says to Hashem, and therefore, hashkifa me'on kodshecha min ha-shamayim, so look down from Shemayim, Hashem. And you know, and keep your promise of giving us this chelak in Eretz Yisrael. Fulfill your promise that you made to the Avos. Okay? Shenishbata lavoseinu Eretz Zavas chalav d'vash. Okay? Good?
Why do they have to say it like that? God already promised.
Well, he said, okay. So you're reminding Hashem, I did my part, so you do your part. Yeah, it's a funny thing. It's a little bit of a funny thing. The whole inyan of, right, of Vidoy Meiser. A formal, you know, cheshbon hanefesh, where I check in and say I've done my part. Hashem, do your part. Okay, interesting. Okay, but let's see. And again, as the Rebbe often does, he comes back to this at the very end, and this time even a little bit more cryptic than what we learned yesterday. What he's even saying, but he starts off with a beautiful, beautiful idea. Isa b'Gemara Sanhedrin. The Gemara Sanhedrin tells us, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya Omer, Chaval al Shamish Gadol Sha'avad Min Ha'Olam. Chaval that we all lost our shamish. You could have had a shamish, you know, like a big rebbe. You could have gone through this world with an attendant by your side. Who is your shamish supposed to be? Anyone know? A nachash. She'el mali niskalel nachash. Had the nachash not destroyed the world in Gan Eden, kol echod ve'echod mi Yisrael hayu mizumanim lo shnei nachashim tovim. Right? Not just one gabay, everyone would have two gabayim. One on your right, one on your left, you know? And you're sitting by the tish, Friday night with all your chassidim, you have your gabbai. Everyone would have had two gabbayim, two snakes, serving him by his side. Fascinating. And what would these nachashim do, these nachashim tovim? Echad mishagro l'tzafon ve'echad mishagro l'darom. One he would mishager, he would send to the north, and one he would, strange, gemara, and one he would send to the south. Lahavi lo sandalfonim. Lashon of the Gemara is actually sandal bonim, tovim or margolios tovos. You would send the snake to what? To retrieve for you all sorts of precious diamonds and gems, all sorts of valuable things. Meaning you'd never have to go to work. You'd send out your shliach. The nachash would go. He'd find some precious things. He'd bring them back for you. Kavaldik. Velo od. Not only that, elishamaf shilin ritzua tachas navo. You could attach some type of strap to its tail. Motzi ba'afar, the nachash, right? We see from the curse of the nachash. The Marsha explains on this Gemara. You see, the curse of the Nachash is that what? He's going to eat Ofer all the days of his life. So the Nachash has a connection to Ofer, but it could have been used in a good way. There are people who know how to literally taste, you know, to taste the earth and to be able to tell you the quality of the earth. Is it good for planting? Is it not good for planting? So the Nachash would have had this ability to assist us by what? By drag. You could have attached like a, you know, something to it that would drag dirt to your gina, to your garden, and to your chorva. Meaning it would separate the dirt. The dirt that's good for planting, it would put in your garden. The dirt that's good for just filling the foundation of your building, it would put in the foundation of your building. The Nachash would have taken care of everything. What's the Rebbe's question? The Rebbe's question is, Shal pipshuto kasha lahavin, the Nachash. You want a Nachash as your gabbai? The Nachash is, in our mind, certainly after what happened in Gan Eden, is the symbol of what? Of utter destruction. Nachash is the Yetzer Hara. Nachash is the worst of the worst. So why would it have been, if things would have worked out better, that the Nachash would have been the best of the best? That's sort of the implied question. The Rebbe's going to say, let's see. Shal pshipshuto kasha lahavin, lama dafka ha-Nachash? Shemimenu kol ra yatsa. Why dafka the Nachash? The one who caused so much ra, who caused so much bad in the world. Why should it be that he should be, why should he dafka? Hayashliach kol kach tov liyisrael. Would have made your life so gavaldic. Would have taken care of everything. You're good. Would have taken care of everything for you. You wouldn't have had to do anything. The Nachash would bring you precious diamonds and gems. The Nachash would have plowed your fields for you and tended your garden. Why is this symbol of evil the same thing that would have served us in such a positive way? Lama ein tova kazu yoseis min shar habehemos v'chayos. Why not a different animal? Right, you're going to pick an animal that's a Jewish animal. Don't pick a Nachash. Pick a Jewish creature. I don't know. Pick something that's, a dove. Something that's Jewish, you know? Jewish people are sometimes compared to a deer. Pick an animal that at least like has some shaykhis to some of the Medrashei Chazal about comparisons to a Jew. You're not going to pick a dog, which is a malek. You're not going to pick a Nachash, which is the Yetzer Hara. You're not going to pick an animal which is, again, so symbolic of negativity. And if you'll say, V'im mipnei kishinis kalel ha-Nachash gam him niskalu imo. And if you'll say that what? That when the Nachash was cursed, all the animals were cursed. Im kein, al kopanim, lamalo amr ha-gemara. So nonetheless, why doesn't the Gemara say, il mali niskal ha-nachosh, hayu kola behemos v'chayos mevios lano avanim tovos umargalios. If really the Nachash is just saying that even the Nachash would have brought, so it should have said, okay, all the animals would bring, and even the Nachash, it sounds like it's highlighting dafka the Nachash. Dafka the Nachash would have been our greatest helper. Rak al ha-nachash dafka amra. And that's very strange, says the Piazatz Rebbe. How do we understand that? How could it be that Dafka the Nachash would have been our greatest helper? Now again, I'm sure the wheels are spinning and you're thinking to yourself, right, as you should be, that sometimes that's how it works in life. Right? Sometimes the thing that could be my biggest source of negativity, the thing that can destroy me the most, my midah, which if used in the wrong way will drag me down to the lowest of places, is the same midah that if I harness it and channel it in the right way, then I can use it in the best possible way. And I can do unbelievable things with it. Yet people who are very passionate, right? Who have tremendous passion. They're just very emotional and passionate people. So if they channel that towards Avodas Hashem, they become fiery in it. And if they don't, right? We all know what happens. And we understand where it ends up if it's used in the wrong way. Right? So part of the answer is that, yes, we understand that the Yetzer Hara, as we learned last year in the Avodas Yisrael in several places, that the Yetzer Hara, if used properly, can dafka help us to achieve our greatest success in this world. The Yetzer Hara is a Malach Hashem who is really on our team, even though he tries to oppose us. Okay, but let's go a little bit deeper. Let's see. Ve'efshir ki isa b'Yerushalmi peya. The Yerushalmi in Maseches Peah says the following about a Nachash. We need to learn a little more about the Nachash. What's different? How is a Nachash different than a lion? How is the Nachash different than a wolf? How is the Nachash different than other carnivorous animals? So the Yerushalmi says, Omer mele Nachash. The animals, so to speak, ask the Nachash. Or the world asks the Nachash. Ma hanaya lecha she'ata noshech. Snake, why do you bite? Why do you bite? Why do you bite people? Sometimes poisoning people. Very often the attack, the bite of the snake, is not because the snake plans to devour its prey. Sometimes the snake just strikes, not because it's hungry. Why do you bite for no purpose? Aryeh toref ochel. A lion attacks. A lion is toref. A lion attacks v'ochel, and it eats. A ze'ev, a wolf, is toref v'ochel. When it kills its prey, it eats. Ata mahanai yeshlecha. Snake, I don't get you. Sometimes you don't seem to get anything out of this. Now, chevra, we have to listen into the context as well, right? The Rebbe is trying to understand, why do the Nazis, Yimach Shem, hate Jews so much? What do you get out of killing Jewish babies? What type of sick hanad do you get from that? If you want to conquer another neighboring, you know, area because you want more land, you want more possessions, okay. We can understand why one nation would wage war against another, but there was something about the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, V'zichram, that they did it for, it's hard to explain, like, right, the way that they attacked the Jewish people, right, it's hard to rationalize. Like, what type of hana? It was irrational. Their hatred for the Jew is irrational. It goes beyond anything that can be explained. So they asked the Nachash, why do you attack for no gain? What do you get from it? Why are you so quick to harm for seemingly no hana? Amar lahen, so the Nachash says back. Listen to this. Quotes the pasuk in Kohelis, the next five words. Im yishoch hanachash below lachash. We'll read it as a rhetorical question. Im yishoch hanachash below lachash. Does the nachash yishoch, does the nachash bite below lachash without a snake charmer? Does the snake bite on its own? Right. There are people who know how to charm snakes to get them to do things. So the snake says, what do you mean? I just follow the instructions of the one who guides me, who puts a spell on me and tells me what to do. Ilule is Amar, says the snake, in explaining this pasuk, it's in the 10th parak of Koheles. Ilule is Amar li, had it not been said to me, min ha-shamayim neches, if I was not told by shamayim to bite, lo havena neches. I never bit anyone without it being a divine command. The snake says, I don't have bechira, I'm not a baal bechira, I don't have free will. Human beings have free will. Animals are shluchim of Hashem. And the Nachash says, I'm the ultimate shliach of Hashem. Because lion, when Hashem sends you to go attack someone, right, at least you get lunch. The Nachash says, I'm lishma. I only do what Hashem, I only do what my master tells me to do. I never bite unless I'm commanded from Shemayim to bite. Amazing. Zos Omeres, says our Rebbe, says Eish Kodesh, Zos Omeres, that is to say, Shekol hachayos tarfos litzorach atzman v'hana asan. Right? All the animals attack because they enjoy, they're able to enjoy it, they get some pleasure from it. Masha ein kein hanachash, eino ose litzarach atzmo v'hana'asa. The nachash doesn't do it for its benefit. So what do we see from the nachash? That means when the nachash does evil, it's pure evil. It's evil lishma. So the Rebbe says, but that also means, it reveals to us a deep secret about the nachash. Nachash is gematria Mashiach, by the way. Right? So we often think of Nachash as the polar opposite of Mashiach. Right? Nachash is the anti-Mashiach. It's the thing that blocks us from coming to Mashiach. Taking care of your needs. V'remez huzeh shemi she'enu mechavein b'masav la'atzmo. So the Rebbe says, let's learn a simple lesson from the Nachash, from the flip side. Right? When the Nachash bites, it's lishma. Even though in a certain sense, it's evil lishma, right? Because it doesn't even get hana from it. But there's something pure about it. When a person does something that's purely motivated, there's something very powerful about that. So again, look at the words. V'remez huzeh, shemi she'eno mechavein b'masav la'atzmo. When a person does something without intention for what? For himself, in a way that's not self-serving, al karchach tova gedola yechola letzeis mimeno. That means bein letov, bein lemutav, for good or for bad. That means when the Nazis are so purely lishma, hatred of a Jew, that defies any logic or rationale, it means they're going to do unbelievable things, unbelievably destructive things. But the Rebbe, again, trying to see it in a positive light, that means that when we do something lishma, when we do something not in a way that's self-serving, so something great, something unbelievable can come from that. When I take myself out of the equation and I do it for a higher purpose, that's how I tap into much greater strength. And because the Nachash was cursed, so that energy was perverted in the wrong way. The Nachash becomes, again, that symbol of utter negativity, of complete klala, of curse, of lowliness, the enemy, right? The one who attacks us till the end. As the Psukim described, part of the curse of the Nachash, there's going to be this ongoing battle throughout history of the Nachash versus mankind. Aval, il moli niskalo, but had it not been cursed, gam avonim tovos margolios hayamevi liyisrael. He would bring crown jewels to the Jewish people. It's not about bringing diamonds or bringing, you know, pearls. Right? It's about he would help a Jew to become that, you know, that diamond in the eyes of a Kadosh Baruch. The Nachash would have been your helpmate to help you to achieve unbelievable things. It's interesting. We know the Nachash was jealous of Adam and Chava's very, you know, intimate relationship. Right? And we know that a husband and wife, it's an ezer kenegdo, it's a relationship, right? A marriage is the ultimate bond, right? Of two people connecting with one another. So the Nachash was jealous of that. Why was the Nachash jealous of that? Because in a certain sense, the Nachash understood, I can also be the greatest partner with Adam HaRishon. But unfortunately, the whole thing fell apart. And it caused, you know, Misa brought death to the world. That's what the Nachash did. The Nachash brought death to the world. Yeah, David. Yeah, it could be. Yeah, he would have been part of the family. But he was envious. He wanted that exclusivity with Adam or with Chava or whatever he wanted. Right? He wanted, which again is a very deep thing. It's a very deep thing. But again, it shows you that when you want something and you express it in the wrong way, it has so much potential. That's why it leads to such chorba. Right? The story of, you know, Esav also. Esav could have been one of the Avos. He had so much of that same energy that Yitzchak had, but he, instead of channeling it inward, he channeled it outward. Yitzchak is the mid of Gvura, but Esav used Gvura to be a hunter, to be a murderer, you know, to be a thug. So when you use your energy in the wrong way, not only was he not one of the Avos, he becomes the enemy of Yaakov Avinu. Yeah?
So we wouldn't say that Nachash like resembles the Zahara or the...
Again, now we do. Now we do because of the way that things went, right? But you should realize that it could have been different. And the lesson for us is that, again, when a person does something, you know, lishma, so unbelievable things come from that, right? That's the key line. V'remez huzesh mishe'enu machaven b'maisav la'atzo. When we do something and it's not self-serving, it's not for our own hana, al karchach tov v'gedol la'yachol. Let's say it's the matter. Great things can come from that. When we tap into something bigger than ourselves. That's the yesod. Okay? Now again, he's hinting to a lot of things, and each of us have to interpret it in our own way. But it's unbelievable what the Rebbe is saying. He's trying to explain that the fact that we're being so brutally attacked by the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, in a way that defies any explanation, that means, it's very messianic is what he's saying, we're on the cusp of something that could be just the opposite. Right? Inexplicable hate that the Nazis have for us could be transformed into this unbelievable gilui of Hashem's love for us. This is lamala min ateva hatred. We could turn it into lamala min ateva ava, to lamala min ateva nisim min aflos. We just have to vinahocha. We got to do our tshuva, and that's what he's going to say to the people. Yeah. Yeah, that's a heavy question, right? It's certainly the right question, right? Meaning, on the one hand, yes, the Nazis have to be held accountable in the fullest measure for choosing to harm Klal Yisrael. But the P.S.S. Rebbe is also not willing to acquiesce that the Nazis run the world. And he's saying, in some way, we have to realize that even when enemies attack Klal Yisrael, enemies of free will, he zooms out onto kind of the grand stage and says, nothing can happen unless Hashem signs off on it. Again, that's not a pass for the Nazis, but that's an opportunity for us to be self, you know, reflective. Right? It's some type of higher way.
But we do say it's a pass for
the Nachash. Also not. Why is the Nachash cursed? Right? That's the Rambam's question. Why are the Egyptians punished if they're carrying out God's will? Right? So there's different answers in the Rishonim. They went too far, right? Hashem said the Jews are supposed to be exiled. They took that to the next level, and Shofar, or Hashem never said we have to be slaves to the Egyptians. He just said, Avram, you're going to be a stranger amongst someone. You didn't have to be the one to sign up for it. So that's the accountability of the Egyptians. Right? That's the accountability of the Nazis. But the Jewish people, the suffering of the Jewish people is not random. That's what the Rebbe believes. It's his dying breath. He believed that the suffering and the pain of Klal Yisrael is not random. And that's why he's quoting this remarkable Yerushalmi, that the Nachash doesn't bite unless God signs off on it. Right? But that's a big sugya, obviously.
So assuming it probably did have free will.
Why is the Nachash cursed? Okay, right, right.
Fine, but then maybe I'll sneak away.
Okay.
Nowadays, if a snake were to bite something, I don't think...
Snake should be held accountable, yeah. Right. The pashtus is, and again, it's not pashtus at all, but the pashtus is you're correct. I think you're right. Since it doesn't have free will, it's operating in a... It's not in the realm of schar v'onesh, yeah. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Two lines from the bottom. Od efshar ki kasha Hashem nifra al yedei chaya torefes shadar chalechol basar. Now he's gonna speak out some of the ideas we've already shared, but let's see it in his words. When Hashem punishes by an animal that is toref, that devours, and it eats, right? Shadar chalechol basar. Its way is to eat that which it devours. V'Hashem sivev rak shelo tochal basar behema v'chaya. It's normal for a lion to attack another wild animal. What happens when a lion attacks a person and eats a person? Right? Hashem caused it that this animal decided not to eat another animal, but it eats an adam chas v'chalila. As hadin, top of the next page, shamayim b'derech hateva nislabish. So obviously, the fact that the lion is attacking a person instead of another wild animal, right, is sort of a sign that that's not so normal. Hashem must be kind of moving the pieces around over here, right? But it's still wrapped with derech hateva. What does that mean? What does the Rebbe mean? It's wrapped with derech hateva. It's the nature of a lion to attack and to eat. 99% of the time, the lion will attack another animal and eat. Then you'll hear a crazy story: a lion ate a person. Right? It's still the teva of the lion. It's still the nature of the lion to be toref v'ochel. So even though you sense that there's a din shamayim here, that there's the hand of God in this, but it's still concealed. It's not open. It's not open that it's Hashem. It's just the lion had a crazy day. The lion went nuts. It was so hungry it ate a person. Ki kol bal chai tivo lechol levakesh sarchav, because it's the nature of a wild animal to what? To eat and to seek out its needs. Masha ein kein kishenifra al yedei nachash, as opposed to when a nachash bites. The Nachash doesn't bite because it's hungry, as we learned in the Yerushalmi. That means when the Nachash bites, what? When the Nachash bites, that means what? It's totally Hashem, right? There's not even the Derech HaTeva. The Nachash says, it's not my nature to bite at all. I only bite because God tells me to bite. So when a lion attacks, certain types of enemies that attack, you understand, even though we always have, what they're always saying, even though we always have to realize it's from Hashem, but at least we can also explain rationally why this enemy is trying to attack. But there's certain types of enemies, and he's describing what he's going through, that when you're attacked by a nachash, he is galus hadin. See? Second line, he is galus hadin. It's a revelation of what? Of divine judgment. Kamo shehu, as is. Below his slabshus b'derech hateva. It's not wrapped in the trappings of teva. It's not wrapped in something natural. It's so unnatural. It's so beyond. Ki einu mavakish oz lechol ve'ein lo hanah mizeh, because the animal, this wild creature, doesn't want to get anything from this. They just want to destroy for the sake of destroying. Rak din kamo shehu hu, and the midas hadin as it is, it is. That's the difference between an attack that's still b'derech hateva and something which is lamala min hateva. Vizesh omeres hagamara. So look, says the Rebbe, fourth line. Kevan shiroin benachash la'acher shiniskal el hisgalus hadin below islamshus. So if the nachash becomes again this paradigm of what? Of midas hadin totally revealed, totally expressed openly. If the nachash again is this just the symbol of undiluted hatred, yodin mizeh. So then we understand now the Gemara. We understand what the opposite could have been. She'il mole niskalel. Had the Nachash not been cursed, Gam ha-tova shahaisa mimenu, then the goodness that would have come from him, tova gedola shalo kederech ha-teva haisa. Yotzeis lanu mimenu. The greatest type of good would have come from that same source. Chaver, let's go to Parshas Noach for a second. Parshas Noach was an unbelievable chorban. Terrible destruction in the world. A mabul, right? An unbelievable mabul. Do you know that the Midrashim tell us that, and the Sfar HaKadoshim will elaborate ba'arichas on this, that Hashem wanted to give the Torah in the time of Noah? That was Hashem's intention. The original, Noah ish tzaddik. Noah learned Torah, it says he learned Torah, he knew which animals were Torah, which were tameh. Hashem wanted to bring Torah to the world. Right? The same way that whatever's happening on Har Sinai, 40 days, 40 nights, the Mabul, 40 days, 40 nights, there was supposed to be what? This unbelievable shefa, this downpouring of what? Of revelation of Hashem. Of what? Of Torah. As Chazal say, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. Right? Mayim is synonymous with Torah. So what happens if you're not roi to receive Torah? What do you get instead? You get Mayim. You get actual Mayim. You get a Mabul. Hashem wanted to bring unbelievable Torah to the world. But the people didn't prepare themselves properly. So instead, what did they bring down? They brought down destructive waters. Instead of the beautiful, sweet waters of Torah. Right? So what the Rebbe is saying, he's trying to mechazik the people. The fact that we're being attacked in a way like we've never seen in Jewish history must mean that we have the potential right now in the world to bring down just this revealed Hisgalus Hashem like never before. If such hatred like never before is expressing itself in the world, then Ava, then Yeshuas, then awesome things could be expressed in the world like never before. And therefore the Nachash who brought Misa to the world would have given so much life to Adam HaRishon had he just, you know, made the right choices. Had Adam and Chava made the right choices. Had the Nachash made the right choices. The very thing that came such a source of destruction could have been such a source of bracha. So where it's bolded, Ulufi Zeh. So now he speaks to us in a very straight way. Kishiroim chas v'chalila. Ma'anim osanu umiyasim b'inyanim shelaha ma'ana umiyaser ein shum tova yotzis mehem. When we see enemies who attack us and enemies who afflict us and we suffer in a way that nothing comes of it from them. They don't get anything out of it other than watching our suffering. Rak la'ana osanu. It's just our suffering. Shehi esgalas adin bo'os labshus b'derech ha-teva. It's like a snake biting. Attack me at least because you want something from me. The Nazis, Yimach Shem, attacked the Jews because of nothing. They just hated them. They couldn't explain it for anything in the world. There was no. They couldn't wrap it in any explanation. The explanations they offered were silly. They were fake. They knew they were lies. They said things about Jews that they didn't believe. Right? They never for a second believed it. They couldn't explain. It was l'malim en ha-teva, the hatred for Klal Yisrael. Oz yodim. You should underline these last two lines of the bold paragraph. Oz yodim izeh. Shekasher nashuv v'nispal al Hashem. If we're suffering like never before, that means if we do tshuva and daven to Hashem, azgam yoshia Hashem lanu b'yeshua bezgalus shalo b'derech ha-teva. Then we have the opportunity now to see Yeshuas in revealed ways also that can't be explained, beyond anything we've ever experienced in this world. V'efsher zeh remez ha-psukim shamar Moshe Rabbeinu. So now let's go back to the root of all of Galus. Let's go back to Mitzrayim. Because we were also suffering terribly there, and Moshe Rabbeinu actually was complaining to Hashem. Why are you hurting the Jews so much? Moshe says, I know it's not power, I know it's you. You're signing off on this. Why are you allowing this? Vayashav Moshe al Hashem. The Psukim in Shmos Parakei. Vayashav Moshe al Hashem, vayomer Adonai, lama hare osa la'am hazeh. Hashem, why are you being so evil to the Jewish people? Lama zeh shalachtani. Now we have to figure out what that phrase means. Why did you send me? Well, Moshe just doesn't want to deal with it. We'll see what it means. He's going to explain. Umeoz basi al paro ledaber b'shmecha. And from the time I showed up on the scene to speak to paro in your name, heira la'am hazeh. It's just getting worse and worse. You sent me to be the savior, to be the messenger of salvation. Everything's getting worse. V'hatzeh lo itzaltes amecha. I haven't been able to save anyone. You haven't been able to save anyone. What are we doing here? Why are you killing your people? Kinoda, so explains the Rebbe. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a person of this world. Moshe Rabbeinu is called in the Torah an Ish Elokim. The Medrash says Moshe Rabbeinu was half Ish, half Elokim. He was half human, he was half angelic. He was godly. Not God, Chas v'Shalom, godly. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Parshas Ekev, for 40 days and 40 nights I was on the mountain, I didn't eat, I didn't sleep. I didn't. He transcended his physical body. Moshe Rabbeinu was not a normal person. He wore a mask because his face was shining. You couldn't even look at him. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, and I think the Pia Zetzner, I don't know how much, you know, in his humility would have said this about himself, but we could certainly say it about him. The Rebbe is about, let me say it first in one sentence. The Rebbe is about to say, listen, there are big tzaddikim who can handle living l'malam in ateva, in both directions. They can hold on to their faith when everything is l'malam in ateva bad, right? And they can be the types of people to experience and to transcend physical reality, to experience and to bring to this world l'malam in ateva good. But regular people can't. It's the Rebbe's way, I think, of saying, and again, I hope I'm not saying wrong, saying, I'm okay. Even though the Rebbe was completely broken, he suffered horribly. But he's saying, I'm not going to lose my faith, but other people might. And you need to, Hashem, you need to realize the ramifications of your actions. It's Moshe Rabbeinu giving Musar to Hashem. How could you be so bad? Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, why did you send me? Listen to what it means. The way of Moshe's leadership is what? Moshe's leadership is to do miracles outside of... He's waving his staff and all sorts of cool stuff's happening. When Moshe says, hold on, ever since I showed up, things are totally have become irrational. That's right, because Moshe, you're like this figure that transcends reality. So ever since I showed up, Moshe says, Tevin lo yinasin lachem. Here it says, La'am azeh, the actual pasuk is, Tevin lo yinasin lachem. Pyro stopped giving them straw. How are they supposed to make bricks if they don't have materials? I don't know, figure it out. That's not normal. That's not normal. Pyro, do you want us to build or not? If you want us to build, so give us the materials and put us to work. What kind of ridiculous backwards decree is that? Moshe says, ever since I showed up, Pyro got really crazy in the head. And Moshe says, and I know why. Because I'm outside of the normal boundaries of things. So my enemy, so to speak, my counterpart, the Pyro, who opposes me and opposes you, Hashem, is also operating in a way that's outside of Teva. It's Meshuggah, it doesn't make any sense. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kevan Shehu Moshe Rabbeinu Ashliach Van Hagaso Below Eslabshas Ateva. Moshe says, since I'm the Shliach and my way in the world is Lamalim and Ateva, I operate outside of the garments of nature. And the salvation that I'm going to bring is also not wrapped, again, in garments. The suffering that precedes it is also going to be what? Undiluted suffering. Is going to be pure, totally lamalam and ateva suffering. But Moshe Rabbeinu, now he makes his pitch on behalf of the Jewish people. He says, not about me. Va'amar, in the second to last paragraph on the page, Amar LaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lama Hari Osa La'am Hazeh. What about the regular people? Are you trying to cause them to go off the derech? What do you want from them? Make it a little easier. And again, like I told you yesterday, you don't have to be in the Shoah to feel this. There's a lot of things in the world today that make it impossible for a Jew to be a Jew. So we also, the Torah is a Torah's Chaim, we dive into Hashem. Hashem, make it a little easier. Take away a little bit of taiva. Take away a little bit of Nisayon. Make it a little easier. Right? You're telling me what? Rav Schachter's fine. Rav Weinberger's fine. Because that's the Rebbe would have been fine. You're telling me big tzaddikim can go through this world and they can navigate their way through. But regular people like us are messing up all the time. So it's not fair. So you're telling me, Hashem said, but I have big plans. Mashiach comes, ooh, they're going to see big miracles. So maybe not such big miracles and not such big taivas, you know? Let's make everything a little more normal, a little more regular. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lama zeh shalachtani, at the time you sent me, Heira la'am hazeh, Rak ra lehem af shalo yegia lo shum tzorach mizeh. Hashem, it doesn't make sense what you're doing. Right? For most people, you're losing. You're losing Jews. You're losing their faith. You're losing their connection to you. You're telling me what? Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to be able to overcome this big nisayon? Yeah, but what about the Am? What about most people? And you'll tell me that what, afterwards is going to be this awesome miracles when we leave Mitzrayim? But are the Jewish people even going to make it to see that time? It's very powerful, no? This is us now also. This is us on the cusp of Mashiach. Mashiach is about to come. And Hashem is, you know, making the world really chaotic. The Shar Hanun, as it's called in the Sfarim, the 50th level of Tumah, in which we're living today. And Hashem is, you know, trying to shake us down, but Jews are falling off. We can't hold on anymore. We're slipping away. So is it worth it? If we lose Jews, if Jews go off the derech, if Jews stop believing in Hashem, if Jews are so broken that they can't play the game anymore, so is it worth it to put on a big grand finale at the end? There's going to be a big surprise, a big show. Are the Jews able to be so velvetzaros at this point? So Hashem says, relax, Moshe, I know exactly where that line is. This is where real faith comes in the deep way. Hashem says to Moshe, good question, and now you're going to see how everything's about to change. In other words, at the point where a Jew feels like I can't hold on anymore, and he really feels he can't, and he says it from an emistic place like a Moshe Rabbeinu, it's at that moment where Hashem says, don't worry, I got you. You're not going to slip away. No one's going to slip away. Like the Pasuk says in the Navi, Lo yidach mimenu nidach. No one's going to be left behind. No one's going to be left behind. Every Hashem, how it's going to work, I don't know. We'll read about it next Shabbos. If you're at the edge of the earth, the edge of the heavens, Hashem will find a way to pull everyone back in. Right, that's Hashem's problem, to figure out how to get us all back on track. But don't think, Hashem says, don't think I'm not, I know what I'm doing. I know you're suffering unbelievably, but I also promise you something unbelievably good is going to come from it. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, four lines from the bottom, Ata Sira, now you will see. Asher Asel Leparo. Ki biyad chazaka yishalchem, u biyad chazaka yigarshem me'artzo. Lechein omar lebnei Yisrael, ani Hashem. Go tell Bnei Yisrael, ani Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, the name of mercy, the name of Hashem's love. Shemeata yaschil din gomer shalom b'slavishus. Until now, it's been undiluted suffering of the Jews, but me'ata, starting now, we're going to begin what? Din gomer, complete din, midas ha-din, at the enemies of Klal Yisrael. Mitzrayim, Usoni Yisrael are going to get what they deserve in full measure. Uli Yisrael yizgala havaya v'rachamim v'chasadim shalom b'slavishus. But the Jewish people are now going to get what? Unbelievable chesed Hashem. Unbelievable rachmei shemai. What's hard about reading a piece like this is that the piece that's there wasn't zochet to that. But the Jews left Mitzrayim were zochet to that. The Jews left Mitzrayim were zochet to see those awesome miracles. Right? And obviously us, we have to believe as we sit here again on the moments before Mashiach arrives, we have to believe that all of the suffering of the P.S.S. Rebbe is going to somehow make sense to us. Not that we have the answers, but it's going to somehow make sense to us when Mashiach comes. We'll be able to see that somehow the Yeshua's Gedolos that came from it all, somehow Hashem was keeping score all along. Let's turn to the last page of the piece. V'hi gam ha'yecholes shel ish ha'yisraeli lechazek atzmo b'tzaros ayomos keila. And now the Rebbe says, halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa. He gam, this understanding of this gives us the yecholes, it gives us the ability to be mechazik ourselves when we're going through the most difficult tzaros. Hatzaros hein shelo bislabshos hateva. When you feel that Hashem hates you in an irrational way. Hashem, I know I did some averos, but I don't deserve to be punished this badly. When we feel that Hashem has kind of crossed the line and the midas hadin is just so rampant. Din shelo kiderach hateva. So look at these next words. Underline these next six words. V'gam ha'ischazchus hi shelo b'derach hateva. By the way, when I say underline something, you could say, no, I don't want to. You don't have to. I just happen to like to point out certain phrases that when you look back at the sefer, it'll jump out at you. You know, do whatever you want, I don't care. V'gam ha'ischazchus hi shelo k'derach hateva. If the enemy hates us, shelo k'derach hateva. And we're on the cusp of miracles, shelo k'derach hateva. That means we have the ability to find strength in a superhuman way like never before. The Rebbe's trying to mechazik people, I know you feel like giving up. You all want to just surrender and die. You want to just tap out. But the Rebbe is saying, we're in a time where things are beyond measure. Which means you can dig deep in a way you've never, you know, dug deep before. You can find a part of yourself, a chizuk inside of yourself that you never could have in a million years imagined was humanly possible. If the suffering is shelo k'derech hateva, then the chizuk is also shelo k'derech hateva. Ki b'derech hateva I efshar lahavin, eich efshar lischazek. Because naturally, and the Rebbe was a Rebbe to thousands, to young, to old, to everyone. And they probably came to him all the time, Rebbe, now what? How can we hold on any longer? Right? Where are we going to get that next bite of chizuk from? What vart is the Rebbe going to say by Shalashuvis that's going to carry us into the next week? and you feel that you're out. Naturally, I'm out of energy. But the Rebbe says, it's a three-step process. If you're experiencing suffering beyond measure, strengthen yourself in a way that you've never strengthened yourself before, and that will act to transform that Midas Hadin Terachim. Feel unfathomable depths of a Jewish soul, which will lead to unfathomable redemption and unfathomable miracles. And the Midas Hadin will be transformed into Midas Harachim. Kihi is galus lamalim in his lapshus. Because this is the revelation that is, again, beyond any garments, beyond any outer trappings that we're experiencing. And now we come back to the psukim that we started with. Psukim where a Jew declares that what? I paid up my meiser, my truma. I did everything I was supposed to do. I ate it in the right way, in the right time. I gave it to the right person. Vegan ramas hapsukim. Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. Velo bi'arti mimenu betamei. Velo nasati mimenu lameis. Shamati b'kol Hashem Elokai asisa kachol asher tzivisani. However, we're going to read this Shabbos. That part of the declaration is not only did I, you know, give my trumos and maestros properly, bring my bikurim, etc., but there are rules. Lo achalti mimenu ba'oni. Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. When I was in a state of aninus. What's an onen? Who's an onen? What does it mean to be an onen? A person who, what? Whose relative passed away. Right? It hasn't even been buried yet. He's not even an ovel yet. So aninus is a period of unbelievable sorrow. And you're not able to eat the produce, the holy produce, right? The sacred gifts from the land. You're not able to eat them in a state of aninus. Right? So Rashi says in this pasuk, Lo achalti ba'oni mimenu, teaches us that an onen is not allowed to eat. You're not allowed to eat the matnos kuhuna. A Jew can't eat meiser sheni in a state of aninus. V'lo bi'arti mimenu betame. V'lo nasati mimenu lameis. I did it. Shamati b'kol Hashem Elokai asisi k'chol asher tzivisani. In other words, what are we saying here? There's times in life where what? Where there's death all around me. Right? I just lost a relative. And you want me to be all happy, enjoying the produce of the land, the gifts of Hashem. The Kohen, the Levi, the Yisrael who's eating his Meister Sheni in Yerushalayim. Wow, everything's besimcha. Right? That's what you expect? And the Pasuk says, yes, Hashem, I did it. Shemati b'kol Hashem Elokai asisi k'chol asher tzivisani. I did everything you asked me to do. V'af al pi, says the Rebbe, shechos v'chalila hayali sibos halalu. I had all the reasons in the world to not smile, to not be hopeful, to not want to do the mitzvah. Onein l'meis rachman l'islam. Mikol makum asisi kechol asher tzivisani. And what does Rashi say on these words? Asisi means what? Shesamachti v'simachti. I rejoiced and I made others rejoice. Samachti, I rejoiced, v'simachti bo, and I gave other people joy with my matnos kahuna or with my meiser sheni. Va'af shebederech hateva I efshar lahavin eich yacholti lischazik v'od lismoach. And even though I had every reason in the world not to smile anymore, I had every reason in the world to not do a mitzvah b'simcha. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it in an angry way. I'm annoyed at you, Hashem, so I'll put on my tefillin because whatever, I don't want to get punished, but like, I'm not going to smile when I put on my tefillin. After what happened, what you did to me last night, Hashem, or how you let me down yesterday. I'll make a bracha, but I'm going to mumble it because I'm not going to give you a nice bracha. You don't deserve that. Not the way you're treating me, Hashem. Says the pasuk, there's a reality that a Jew could stand before his Creator and say, I did it right, even in the hardest times. Ve'ef shemaram is gam lezeh. Kishiro shar anoshim, shagam bitzoros kol kach gedolos mischazek. And what does it mean, samachti v'simachti? Samachti v'simachti? I rejoiced and I made others rejoice? That means when you smile, the person next to you smiles. When you find chizik, when you're ready to give up and you don't give up, so the guy next to you who also wants to give up sees, hey, my chavrusha didn't give up, I'm also not going to give up. You're mechazik each other. His chazku gam heim mikal v'chomer. And chavrusha, this is our kal v'chomer. Listen to this. If the Piazetz, the Rabbi, if the Halaga Eish Kodesh was able to smile in the Warsaw Ghetto and be mechazik other Jews, right? And again, we have to be careful when we make comparisons, us to him. But here's one he says explicit. Kal v'chomer. Kal v'chomer. His chazku gam heim mikal v'chomer. We can make a kal v'chomer. When I see the guy next to me who I know is going through a really impossible situation, and he seems to, despite the fact, I know this person just lost his job. I know this person just broke off his shidduch. I know this person lost a relative. I know this person got into a car accident last week, lo aleinu. I know this person, you know, all these different tzaras. And this person is still showing up every day to the Beis Medrash to learn and to daven. Then kal v'chomer, I thought, I'm a little frustrated that something happened. But like, if this guy's pushing himself, I should also push myself. So when you're mechazik yourself, you're mitchazik someone else. By kal v'chomer. That's what it means, samachti. Uvzeh samachti, uvzeh simachti. By rejoicing, I bring others to rejoice. By showing that I sometimes go above my natural abilities, it inspires other people to do the same. And therefore, here's the conclusion, the last four lines. The pasuk we started with. If I can do that, so then I can just ask Hashem simply what the pasuk says. Nothing fancy, no fancy drashas. If I can do all of that, lachein hashkifa mima'on kadshecha min hashamayim. Hashem, I want you to look down from Shemayim, a much safer place, a much happier place. And if you look down and you see that Klal Yisrael somehow is hanging on, despite all the tzaras, uvarich es amcha es Yisrael veis ha'adama asher nasata lanu. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if we've kept our promises to you, if we do mitzvos, despite the fact that there's aninos and there's mace and there's tzaras and all sorts of horrible things, then Hashem, you look down from Shemayim and you better keep your promises with us. As it says, v'amru chazal, shebechol makom hashkafa hi l'ra. Chazal tell us that the word hashkifa usually means to catch someone doing something bad. But here the Torah uses hashkifa in a good way. And it's dafka because it's being reversed in this pasuk. Right? We're dafka taking a word which often means being, you know, hashkifa. Someone's looking at you in a negative way. And we dafka use it as this pasuk of such bracha. Hashkifa, Hashem, look down with a tender eye, with a loving eye at Klal Yisrael. Usually, shebechol makom hashkafa hi l'ra'a. Usually, hashkafa is something negative. V'kan this hafcha l'tova. And this pasuk is being used as an expression of bracha. Shehayizchazchus ba'atzma. That the chizik that we had or found somehow in these difficult times should create that, should be poel, that reality. La'hafoch me'ra'a l'tova. That this unbelievable hatred the Nazis Yimach Shem have for us should be transformed into this expression, this revealed love that you have for us, Hashem. Me'ra l'tova, u'levarich es amcha Yisrael, as the pasuk says, u'varich es amcha Yisrael. Okay. It's a strong Torah. So Hashem should help us. Hashem should help us. Whatever tzaras we're going through, when you feel like your mamash out of strength, do it not only for yourself, do it for the guy next to you. Do it for the person who's going to look at you and say, you know what? Look at that chizuk, that person. Look how he's still smiling, despite everything he went through. And he's still trying hard. And I know Hashem's going to reward him with unbelievable things. Right? Because if he suffered unbelievably and he strengthened himself unbelievably, then I'm confident that Hashem will will give him unbelievable brachos. Okay, we should be zochet to see that with our own eyes. Yes? Right. It's a good question. It's a dangerous thing. You start comparing yourself to someone else. Yeah. Right? But he says sometimes it's a kal v'chomer. Right? Sometimes, you know, you know that what you're bent out of shape about is really quite minor compared to someone else. You're right. We have to be very, very careful when we start, you know, comparing our tzaras to other people's tzaras. No one really knows what another person's going through. Right? But sometimes you can draw on that strength. And the Rebbe says that's a real thing. When a Jew picks himself up, he picks up Klal Yisrael with him. That's a real thing. And sometimes it's true on just like a, you know, on a natural way, and sometimes it's on a metaphysical way. That when a Jew acts strong, he strengthens other Jews. When Yosef HaTzadik said no to Eishes Potiphar, Yosef HaTzadik made it possible for a person to say no to the Yetzara in that type of situation. I'm not Yosef HaTzadik, I know, but you're a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik. And he brought that into the world. Right? Kedushas Levi says that when Avram Avinu was ready to die al Kiddush Hashem, Avraham Avinu created that reality in the world that Jews are now prepared to die al Kiddush Hashem. He gave us that strength. Right? And sometimes as Jews, as Tanya points out in Perek Yudches, as Jews are not necessarily so religious. And somehow they're willing to do that. Where do they get that from? It's part of the Yerusha from Avraham Avinu. Right? So we also can make a, you know, can make a mark on the world in that way. When we act with strength, maybe in a subtle way, we're machazik someone else. We're able to lift them up. But yeah, we have to be very careful. Be very careful not to compare ourselves to others. Like it's part of the tochacha.
The classic thing is like if you have a child who's not big, like, oh, well, they're like children starving after.
Right.
So,
not every comparison is healthy or helpful. Right. For sure.
I think this is probably true. That like if there's someone probably also like you're like there, or someone that you see that's right. Like close in your life, and
right.
You see, it's like much easier to make more corollary.
Right. Again, the Kal V'Chomer is not, well, since they went through the Holocaust, so anything we're going through is relatively small. That's not the Kal V'Chomer. Right? That is not the Kal V'Chomer. The Kal V'Chomer is whatever I'm going through, whatever my roommate's going through, I know, objectively, I know that my thing is a smaller deal. Right? My roommate, whatever, and my printer's giving me trouble. Okay, but how can I be so surprised? I see how he's finding strength in hard times. So why am I giving up so easily? And that's the type of Kal V'Chomer that we can really live with, that we can really draw from. Okay? Yeah.